downstairs for children 5 and under after the children's story, as well as children Bibles, books, and activity bins in the back corner for them. They can bring them to your seat with you, and a baby room just inside the narthex. You'll also find in the narthex a few 50th anniversary books and hymnals that are free to take home, as well as some grapes left over from the corn roast yesterday. It was a very nice turnout. Thank you to everybody who volunteered to help make that possible, and to the Bergen family for the donation of the grapes. They brought back a lot of memories for people from their childhood and made some new ones for the children. Our fall schedule is now in full swing, so please take a look at the bulletin. We encourage everyone to join in one of the activities here or within the wider community. We also thank you for your patience as we get used to some of the new setups at the front of the church and around. There's been some changes made to the fonts to make it easier to see, and it's kind of counterintuitive, but this one is generally set up so it has less glare for this side, and this one is generally set up for less glare for this side of the room, so hopefully that will help with those things, but we will continue to make adjustments as we get used to the new setup. Please bow with us, me in prayer. Dear God, thank you for everyone here with us today and those unable to join us in person. You show us your great sovereignty and love every day in big and small ways. Despite this, we often fail to yield control to you. We struggle to acknowledge you for fear of what others may think or how you may ask us to change. We thank you that you meet us just as we are, wherever we are. Be with us today as we worship you together. In Jesus' name, amen. And you can now stand, and we are going to be joining in song.
instrument. I know Emily there was waiting anxiously. Come, pick an instrument. I'll need help for the next song. Yes, you do.
Good morning, friends. My name is Tim, and I serve here as the pastor. We're going to have our time now for announcements, and if you have any prayer requests to share, please raise your hand, and we'll have a microphone find you. Just before that, as you may recall, if you were here when we went over the many different logos, and we played a game show, essentially, with them, and we voted on them, and our final choice here was to combine the font on one of the slides with the cross from one of the other ones. And so this is the combination together that came from the cooperative work of our congregation. So that is our new logo. So thank you for all of your work on that. We also have been getting ready for what we're calling our relaunch as we re-envision what it means for us to be church here together. To be a community church together. So we are looking at the date now of October 27th. So that's still a little bit away. And the reason we're picking that date is we want to make sure we have enough time to get the lights replaced, which will be happening soon. We'll be able to finish up some of the stage work and have a website and other things like that up. So that will be our date to, if you want to invite any friends, we have time between now and then to figure things out, like, how big should the fonts be on our slides? Things like that. So please be prayerful on that, as we hope making some of these changes will make it easier for us to invite our neighbors, to invite people who are participating already in our midweek programming, our great kids programming, and for people who are just searching and looking for us online. So community sharing, does anyone have any prayer requests they would like to share? And as we think to raise our hand, I'll note that from Eric Berg and from Marlies there, Marlies would like us to share that Eric is in the hospital right now as he has had an ulcer that has been bleeding. It's been giving him some trouble. He is in very good spirits. If you want to go visit him, he is always a joy to talk to, and hopefully I'll be able to see him again this afternoon, or maybe more hopefully, I'll see an empty room as he's been sent home. Does anyone have any other prayer requests they'd like to share? All right, well, let's pray together. I'll lead us in prayer, and then I'll invite you to do the Lord's Prayer with me. We will have that on the screen, as well as we will have that in your... Oh, we don't have it in the bulletin anymore. Ignore that part. No, we do. It's also in the bulletin. But you're welcome to do that in whatever language speaks most to your heart or whatever version of the prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are near. Lord, we thank you that you are in this place. You are in this people. That wherever we go, there your kingdom of God is already there. Lord, help us to be aware of what you are doing throughout our neighborhoods, throughout our community. Open our eyes so that we can see what you're doing. Open our hearts so we can participate in bringing your love, your joy, that new life into being. Lord, we think of all of the trouble through the world, the sickness, the pain, the loneliness, the poverty, the hunger, addiction, the violence, the warfare. Lord, there is so much trouble. Lord, we pray that you would have mercy. Lord, work through the hearts of leaders. Bend their hearts towards peacemaking. Lord, work through the hearts of your people all through the world so that we can start to be the answers to these needs, so we can start to be the answers to the prayers, those even unspoken prayers of our neighbors. As we bring our tithes and offerings to you, we recognize that everything belongs to you, even us. Take what we have to offer and use it to advance your kingdom in word and deed. Lord, we pray that you would continue to be with Marlies and Eric, that you be with Eric while he's in the hospital, give the doctors wisdom while they care for him. We pray, Lord, for healing and that he'd be able to return home soon. And friends, I invite you to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now we will have our children's time. Children, please come forward. I remembered to bring a bulletin up this time. It's very helpful. So children, please come forward and we're going to hear from Aaron.
Okay, good morning. Good morning. How's it going, kids? Good, good. How is everyone's start to the school year? Thumbs up, thumbs down, somewhere in the middle? What do you think? Mostly thumbs up. Okay, that's good. I'm happy to see that. Good, good. That's awesome. Well, it's great to see you all this morning. I brought something to share with you today. I'm wondering if you can guess who is in this photo. Who do you think this is? You think it's me? Can you tell? Does it look like me? So this is a photo from when I was a baby. How did you know it was me? The hair, you think? I don't know. I think my hair was a lot less curly. I think it was a lot shorter, too. I don't know. Do you see? I don't know. Is there a resemblance? Maybe my eyes? I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe a little bit. So this is from a long, long time ago, right? So I've changed a lot since then. And you've all changed a lot since you were this old too, right? Some of you guys were all like this one day, but you've all grown up a lot too, right? A lot changes from when we were a baby, right? We get taller, our hair gets longer, right? And maybe changes color, or maybe it gets curly or straight or something, right? And our face is changed too, and we learn to do new things, right? We learn to walk, we learn to talk, right? I've learned to do those things, right? I've learned to drive a car, right? And all the time since I've grown up. So a lot has changed since we were babies. Can you imagine going back to being a baby? No? You want to? Why do you want to go back to being a baby? It was just fun? Oh, because lots of funny videos. Yeah. That's true. Babies are funny. That is true. That's true. Okay, so maybe you had more fun as a baby. What do you think? Your baby cousin's coming over today. Well, that's going to be fun, right? Because babies are usually fun, right? Except for when they're crying or waking you up in the middle of the night. That doesn't sound so fun, but not your problem, right? So you're okay. There you go. In today's Bible story, we're going to hear a story about Jesus talking to a man named Nicodemus. And he's going to talk about something called being born again. Have you ever heard that before? Being born again? Could you be born again? You're born once, right? When you're a baby. Can you be born again? How? Oh, well, that's something different, right? That's not what Jesus is talking about today. We're going to learn about it today. So we're going to learn about Nicodemus. So Nicodemus was a really important guy during the time when Jesus lived. Really, really important. So he worked at the temple, which is kind of like working at the church, right? He had a really important job. He was a really important guy. And he heard about Jesus, and he wanted to ask Jesus some questions. He was kind of confused. Jesus was saying some weird things. He wanted to know more. So Nicodemus, he snuck out in the middle of the night to find Jesus and talk to him. And he wanted to ask him about all the things that Jesus was doing and the things he was saying. And so Jesus told Nicodemus that he needed to be born again, which doesn't really make sense, right? Nicodemus had a hard time understanding what that even means. How can you be born again, right? Were you supposed to shrink back down, right? Now that you've grown up into a man, Nicodemus was going to shrink back down into a little baby. Is that possible? No, right? That's not possible. How could that even happen, right? So Jesus explained that this was a different kind of birth. He was talking about something very different. So we have our earthly bodies, right? Our bodies here that we can touch with arms and legs that we see here on earth. But being born again is something that happens through the Holy Spirit. So Jesus meant that if we have faith in God, we get a new life. We become a new creation, and we have a special kind of birth with a new life that lasts forever, right? A life that never ends, a life with Jesus. And it is, if we believe in Jesus and we follow him, we get to be born again and have that new life, which is so amazing. So Jesus told Nicodemus that God loved us so much, he gave up his son so that we can have this new life. And that message wasn't just for Nicodemus, it's for us too, right? That's a message that Jesus wanted us to hear too, that we can be born again and we can have that new life, which is really awesome. So why don't we thank God for that right now? Can we pray together? Okay, let's fold our hands, close your eyes, whatever you want to do, and we'll pray, okay? Dear God, thank you so much that you love us. Thank you that you sent your son Jesus to show us how to live. And thank you that we can be born again and have new life with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, thanks guys. Thank you.
Good morning. How is everybody doing so far today? You're all here, so you must be doing fairly well, I would assume. Wondering over the course of summer, perhaps some of you are interested in reading. Maybe you've read a bestseller. I'm sure some of us have looked into books and read a bestseller. I've worked through one or two, and some are better than others. I always find them quite interesting. Well, it turns out that you have a bestseller right in front of you. And I'm not just saying that because that's what it says. We've received new Bibles in our pews. You can take that out now. And it says right on the front, it's a best-selling New International Version text. So there you have it. It's a bestseller. Okay, so that's one thing. I see it's large print. Better for me as the years go by. It says comfort print. I've never heard that term before. Somebody might be able to enlighten me. Comfort print, well, what would that mean? Is the touch good? Is it easy on my eyes? Is it comfortable for my eyes? Or perhaps there's a hidden meaning. The words themselves could be a comfort. Anyways, please turn to John chapter 3. Since we have these Bibles, we should know our ways around it or get at least a little more familiar. So we're looking at the New Testament, the latter third of the Bible. If you see Matthew, you see Mark, you see Luke, next is going to be John. We're looking at chapter 3. Books of the Bible, a lot of them are either names of people, places, events, or history. Kind of nicely laid out that way. So I'll be reading from John chapter 3, verses 1 to 21. Please follow along if you like. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but the people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he... We get the different versions as we all don't say it together. One of the most well-known Bible verses, right? But one of the challenges we have sometimes in the things that we know really well is we know them so well that we start to know them outside of the original context. So we had a lot of verses that we're looking through today in John chapter 3. And the reason for that is because we want to let Jesus color our understanding of that famous verse and the verses around it. So we're looking at the Gospel of John, and we're just going to jump right in. The Gospel of John is written, we believe, by one of Jesus' closest disciples. It is most likely the last gospel written because John lives the longest. So he's kind of saying, this is my version, how I remember it. We see it start very differently than some of the other gospels as this God entering the world, this word becoming flesh, the word of God, Jesus, entering into our neighborhoods. Very quickly, Jesus bursts on the scene with his cousin John. He is baptized. And then he calls some of his followers, these disciples, who it says they put their faith in him after he does this famous miracle, making water into wine. Not just any water, it was dirty religious water, the ceremonial water that he goes and turns into wine. And then Jesus goes to the temple and he drives out all of these people who are selling things, these money changers, these people who are taking advantage of those who are seeking out to draw close to God. The temple was the place where you'd go if you wanted to seek God. Sometimes you'd only get to go there once or twice in your lifetime. And these people were setting up these extra religious rules, these ways of making money off that system. And then Jesus says that he's giving us this new understanding. We're not just going to a place, this temple, but there's this new temple that is his body that's raised up, that offers us life. And that brings us right to John chapter 3. So I'm going to read through that again. We already heard it, but I'll have some images up here for you. So, now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God was not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Just a note as we go through here. That's not what Nicodemus was asking, right? Watch how many times Jesus kind of changes direction in this passage. "How can someone be born when they're old?" Nicodemus asks. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb and be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things. Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we've seen. But still, you people, the rulers, the ruling religious class, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. But people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Okay. So there's a lot of imagery going on in here and a lot of things happening. So let's dig a little deeper into some of the context so we can better understand what this means. So first, we meet a man named Nicodemus. So he is part of the ruling council. So this means he is part of what would be both this religious but also political body that rules over all of Judah and Jerusalem. Okay, so he is a power player at politics as well. Remember what Jesus just did in the passage before. He went to the temple and he turned over tables, and those are Nicodemus's tables. That's Nicodemus's temple that he helps oversee as well. And it says that he's a Pharisee. Now, Pharisees kind of get a bad rep sometimes. It's a bit unfortunate. Pharisees were probably the religious progressives of their time, trying to find ways to help people meet all of those laws that they find in what we call the Old Testament or their Torah. So most often, these are people you'd want to have in your community. They would have little at-home Bible studies, other stuff, encouraging people to really follow God. But often we see the Pharisees getting so mixed up on what was that they have trouble seeing what is right in front of them, that Jesus calling them to this other way, to give up these almost overly religious practices for the sake of religion, for something that changes them from the inside. So Nicodemus, being a part of that ruling group, this is the group that will eventually send Jesus to the cross. Nicodemus is probably wise then to come to Jesus at night because his fellow co-workers ruling over things would not appreciate this. And maybe this is his kind of secret way of trying to learn a little bit more. So that's why we see him coming at night. He doesn't want people to know, but he wants to know a little bit more. Maybe almost like this secret way of him saying, I kind of agree with what you're doing, Jesus, but I can't let these other people know. And Jesus talks a few times here about the kingdom of God. If you read the Gospel of Matthew, that shows up as the kingdom of heaven. The way that they would understand that at this time is Israel, the whole nation, is chosen to be a different type of nation, a different type of kingdom. But they've fallen away. They're not always following the rules. Things keep getting mixed up. And right now, the Romans are in control, this invading, massive, oppressive army and force. So the first hope of this kingdom is that God is going to restore Israel. But Jesus is pointing to something more than that. This idea that God is the one who is the true king of the world. And you might have your Caesar way over in Rome, but there's a true God that kind of turns the world upside down into different ways. If you want to be a part of this kingdom, this eternal type of living, you have to be a different type of person. You have to be changed. So sometimes we're going to see people confuse kingdom of God, what we might consider heaven later on. That's because those concepts don't exist separately. Okay, kingdom of God, eternal living, this all mixes together. And then Jesus says something interesting about being born again. John is the only gospel that uses this language. And we hear people use it all the time. You have to be born again. But what does that mean? What is Jesus meaning here by water and spirit, this weird, different birth? And in case you find this confusing, or maybe in case you find this really obvious what the answer is, know that people don't know. For 2,000 years, they've argued over exactly what this means, and we're not entirely sure. To me, in this passage, it seems that Jesus is pushing this idea, well, I know who Nicodemus is. He probably knows who my cousin is, so who's been doing all of that baptizing by water, that ceremonial cleansing, saying, I'm going to turn my life around and repent. And Jesus is saying, I think here, it takes more than just this repentance of water. Something has to change on the inside, this spirit moving. And he talks about wind. And if you'll remember, wind and spirit and breath even are all the same word. So Jesus is playing around with some language, or John, as he shares this. So it buzz, buzz, buzz. There we go. Oh, I can't move at all. Here we are. So it's not really any wonder why poor Nicodemus is confused, right? Nicodemus will have the entire Old Testament as we have it today. Can we just switch microphones, or what do you think? We'll switch. Okay. Well, I'll leave this on my head so it looks smart. Nicodemus will have the entire Torah, the entire Old Testament as we have it today, memorized, and right at his fingertips he can quote it. So he knows his Bible inside and out. And he's very confused by what Jesus is saying, because Jesus is challenging all of these ideas, the way that he's understood it, and changing it to something new. Jesus references Numbers 21, this time in the Old Testament where we see Israel, God's people, wandering through the desert, and they're grumbling. They don't like what's going on. And it says that because they were grumbling against Moses and the leaders and against God, God allows these snakes to come in, and they bite them. They're bit by these poisonous snakes, and people start dying. And they come back and say, oh, we're so sorry. And then God tells Moses to make this bronze serpent on a staff, and if you look on it, you're healed. So Jesus references this idea of looking on this serpent, this thing that's raised up and being healed, and he references that to this future time, this future lifting up of the Son of Man. So John is kind of giving away the end of the story right here in chapter 3. And then Jesus talks a lot about light and darkness, which I think our poor friend Nicodemus is going to feel some sting from, right? When does Nicodemus come to Jesus? In the darkness. He's staying out of the light. And Jesus is inviting him then to move from this faith, this understanding of following and agreeing and wanting to be with Jesus in the darkness, and moving that over to the light. Because in the darkness is where the bad stuff happens. So the trouble that we have today, that I think is identified in this passage, comes right away in the darkness. There's something about darkness and secrecy and keeping things out of the light that maybe we feel like we have to do as followers of Jesus, right? We put on our light faces when we come to church and we try to hide these other things. Or maybe it's more that the way that we live some parts of our lives, right? We have our Sunday morning faith, our in the light faith, but we have these other practices, these other parts of our lives that don't match up with the words of faith maybe we proclaim on Sunday mornings. There is a darkness in this world. I mean, even this week we saw a candidate to run the most powerful country in the world demonize those who come from another country, and people just lapped it up because we have this darkness inside that wants to blame other people. Good for us, bad for them. The second thing we sometimes have trouble with in faith circles, in churches, is that we get so focused on knowing the right things that we miss what it means to have that knowledge change us. When Jesus is tempted in the desert by the devil in Matthew, you'll note that the devil or Satan in that situation has the Bible memorized as well. You will never know your Bible better than Satan. That didn't do a lot of good for the devil, though, did it? Here, even Nicodemus, who has the whole Old Testament memorized, and he can kind of see a little bit that something is happening. His knowledge is somehow getting in the way of him fully realizing who Jesus is and fully following Jesus. And that's what Jesus is kind of poking and prodding at in this conversation at night. And maybe most obviously in John chapter 3, we see how we can end up taking a verse that is this great hopeful verse and press it down into a package that's an individualistic faith. John 3:16, God so loved the world, God so loved me, he gave his son for me. I believe, and I have this new life, and I am reborn, and that changed, and that's good for me, and that doesn't affect the way I love my neighbors. I might tell them that Bible verse so they can go and have that same individualistic faith. This faith that somehow exists still in darkness. Instead of living out the good deeds of God's kingdom in our daily lives in the light. It is such a tragedy that this beautiful passage where Jesus challenges a religious leader to turn around, to be reborn, to move from darkness to light in such a way that affects the entirety of his community, his family, his working relationships with his peers, has been pressed down to something just individual, has been pressed down to something that has taken all of the wind and fire and passion out of a community that Jesus calls to go and to be the light. But we see great hope in this passage. Because we, like Nicodemus, are invited to live out our faith in the light. To not hide parts of ourselves in darkness, but to come together and to be the light. With this great adventure of following Jesus isn't something that's just for us as fire insurance. It's this adventure that's meant to be life as it's meant to be. Lived out in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in such a way that changes the way our neighbors experience us. This invitation to be reborn isn't this, again, future fire insurance. Being reborn is something that changes who we are right now from the inside out. Where we start to realize that when Jesus talks about kingdom living, this idea where through our lives and by our prayers, God's kingdom come, God's will be done in our neighborhoods as we live it out. That kingdom living is the eternal life Jesus invites us to. Eternal life isn't something that happens to you after you die. Eternal life is something we are invited into today and every day. And as we live it out, as that Spirit makes us reborn, that will show itself in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Eternal life isn't something we wait for. It's something we are invited to now. And maybe the great hope we have here is, I think if we're honest, it feels like Jesus is being a little bit harsh with Nicodemus. Right? Nicodemus is the only one of those leaders going to see him. He's seeking out Jesus, and Jesus is giving him some really hard stuff. But you know, Jesus knows Nicodemus' heart. Jesus knows what Nicodemus needs. Jesus knows your heart and what you need. And as Nicodemus is challenged in this way, we see Nicodemus show up a few more times just in the Gospel of John as someone speaking out in favor of Jesus and what he's doing, standing up to some of those other leaders. After Jesus goes to the cross and is crucified, it's Nicodemus and one other who work to make sure that Jesus goes to a tomb, who goes and cares for Jesus even after his death in that way. Nicodemus goes to Jesus seeking answers, leaves, and discovers finally what it means to be born again into something new. Be a follower of Jesus. So what does this mean for us, this great passage? Well, we are reminded of the imagery Jesus continues to use about light and darkness. And if we're honest with ourselves, we probably all here have experienced darkness in our world. Not just the sin, the oppression, the violence, the hatred, the meanness, but also the death, the sickness, the pain. But ours is a God who doesn't stay at a distance from that darkness. Ours is a God who enters right into the neighborhood that we are stuck in darkness in and lights us up from the inside out in such a way that we are then invited to go out and to be that light. To let our lights shine before others so they can see how we live. They can see our good deeds and come to know that there's a God who loves them as well. For us, we are invited to a faith that is more than knowing. Following Jesus isn't about just knowing the right things. I am a big proponent of reading your Bible and reading other books and learning more and praying and doing those right things. But just doing those things, knowing those things, doesn't mean that we're changed from the inside. Our lives, how we love our neighbors or not, will tell the truth about what we really believe. We're invited to know Jesus and be known by Jesus. We're invited to be planted where we are and to be the people that Jesus calls us to be. We're invited to live out a faith in action in all avenues of our lives. The Christian faith is knowing, being, doing, all intermixed together. What Nicodemus sought, what we need to make a difference between just knowing the right things, is a faith that is changed by the one who, as Jesus says, has been to the heavens, has been to heaven, and has come to show us this new way. We are not called to have a Bible-centered faith. We're not called to have a church-centered faith. We're not called to have a Mennonite or Anabaptist-centered faith. We're called to follow Jesus, to deny ourselves, pick up our crosses, that is, acknowledging that as we follow Jesus, the world might come to crucify us, and follow Jesus in all avenues. We're invited to a Jesus-centered faith. What does Jesus say? How does Jesus love and live? He invites us to embody that in our neighborhoods. Friends, we continue to be invited every day to step out of the darkness and into the light, to experience that life-changing kingdom way of Jesus, to experience eternal life that begins today and extends beyond our death. May we follow Jesus. Now, last week, this is the exact time I forgot that we were going to take questions. So I made a slide so I'd remember. If you have any questions about this passage and some of the things that we just spoke about, you're invited to raise your hand and we have a microphone and we'll make that way over to you and we'll engage in that question together. And my answer might be, I don't know, that's a good question. And that's fine too. Do we have a mic runner? Oh, we do. There we are. Young gentleman in the back, yes. Now, this might have felt easier to ask questions when we were outside, in the same way that it was easier for me to remember, but no, there are no bad questions, except for the questions that are bad. All right, well, next week I'll start planting questions, and then you won't even know. All right, well, let's pray together, and then we'll sing a final song. Father, we thank you that you are good. Jesus, thank you that you are the one who meets us in the midst of our darkness, in the midst of the darkness of the world, and that you not only shine brightly, but that you ignite that fire within us so that we can shine brightly. Lord, we pray that each person here would know that love and that fire dearly, that they would all know that you have them as your precious sons and daughters. And that they may go and live out that light and that love in their neighborhoods. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. now sing our final song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. And we'll ask you to stand as you're able, please. Trudy, you faked me out after that second verse. I was like, well, I guess that's all we're singing. And then it kept going. That's a great song, though. No, that's good. That's good. Well, friends, receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May you be filled with love, and may that love overflow wherever you go. Follow Jesus in peace. Amen.